Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I am so excited for our show today. I just want to remind you that if you don't want to miss any of our great episodes, please go back and subscribe, and you will get notifications of every single landing of every episode. Today, we have Ramona Shaw with us, and she is a leadership and performance coach. Her mission is to develop high-performing leaders and teams people love to work for. Through coaching and training, she helps new managers establish leadership behaviors, skills, and habits to reach new levels of productivity and impact their roles. It's my pleasure to welcome Ramona to our show today.
Hi, Belinda. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So let's start out and just fill in some of the gaps from your bio so that people can get to know you a little bit better. Tell us about yourself and your journey of how you got where you are today.
Yeah, happy to. I was born and raised in Switzerland, and like this good Swiss person, I guess, I studied finance. I got a master's degree in finance and started my career in private equity. And that was kind of all I knew, banking and finance, what I was born and raised with. I then got the opportunity to move over to San Francisco to build up a brand new team in one of our satellite offices. And of course, I was young and I was ambitious and I was really excited to jump on this new opportunity. So I packed my bags and I flew out to San Francisco to take on this new responsibility or this new job. And that was kind of the beginning of the whole journey. And looking back, it was like it had meant to be. But in the moment when this happened, I was really challenged with, you know, moving from an individual contributor into a new leadership role, having my managers in different continents, very little oversight, male-dominated industry, hiring people almost double my age, and just kind of learning the ropes of leadership. So that was a bit of a challenging journey as I was getting started. But it was also the time where I recognized, okay, I need help. I can't do this myself. I hired a coach to help me deal with all the stuff that was going on and just making sure that I develop my leadership skills and I'm doing the best that I can for the team and for myself too and my family, my family as well. And that working with a coach and kind of diving into leadership development turned everything around for me. And it was a really fascinating development looking back, you know, how all this evolved. And that was also the thing that sparked my interest in the field and the impact that I saw in my own journey, but then also helping others in the company with their leadership development and then ultimately deciding to dedicate my career in this field.
That's awesome. So, you know, it came out of a need for you to really educate yourself. And then you found that you were able to take that and apply it. And then you decided you really enjoyed that. I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I want to touch on this for a moment because you really touched on something, two things that I think are so important. But one, there are people that are suddenly put into because of their talents and their abilities. So obviously you were, you know, probably very good at what you did. You were very assertive. And then you were given this amazing opportunity at a very young age. I found myself in a leadership role at like the age of 24. And so It is very difficult to be managing people that are much older than you that probably have some level of resentment, even a little bit, that how are you so young and doing this? And then you lack some of just the personal development skills that come with wisdom and maturity. Like as most people get into management positions, they're usually a little bit older and they've just had that experience. So I would love for you to touch a little bit on what that was like And the thing that I love the most is a lot of people would have given up or said, I'm not qualified or been self-defeating. And you did the very thing that I always tell everybody to do is you've got to go learn it then. You've got to seek out help. You can't sit back on woe is me and this is the hand I was dealt and it's unfortunate or whatever. It's like, go find the resources. And it's only person that that is up to is you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. It's like you said, it's at a young age and you're kind of lacking the wisdom because I always say, you know, leadership is not a light switch. Like you're not getting promoted and then coming Monday, you got it. Like you're turning on the switch and now you're a leader. That's not, it would be great, right? But it's right. Not how it works. It is like, if you compare it, it's a dimmer. So you slowly move that dimmer and it takes, you know, it takes time and it takes experience to go through that journey. And what you know, in terms of like, you got to actually get into it and ask for help or seek out help is because we may think that this is our own journey and very much like, oh, I'm in this thing and there's no one else I can talk to that understands what I'm going through or the challenges and the stress I'm dealing with. When in fact, it's not a unique situation, right? It's very much something many, many people go through and the challenges are very similar. So while it's good to learn from your own mistake, it totally makes sense to, you know, go out and find sponsors and mentors and coaches who look back and can say like, look, I've made these mistakes. You don't have to. Like, learn from my mistakes. And I can tell you, you know, from on that journey and that roadmap where we're going, there's going to be these and these landmines. So pay attention before you take that next step or before you do this next thing that you were planning on doing, and to look out and know that you don't have to go through this alone. Many people have gone through it before, and there's a lot of wisdom out there that can mm-hmm. be shared and capitalized.
That's great. So then tell us a little bit about then how the business, so you made a complete change, how has that shaped your lifestyle?
Yeah, so it was, you know, in the obviously I was working very much the in a corporate career. It was private equity, very intense, fast paced corporate culture. And then on top of that, I was working with teams in Europe and I was working with teams in Asia, which meant that my morning was packed from like 7 till 10 in the morning, was packed with meetings. And then in the evening from like 5 to 7 was packed with meetings. And all at that, you know, at the same time as I was doing this, I was also, you know, having a family. I started having kids and they were young. And it was like that overlap was not working out well with mm-hmm. when I wanted to actually spend time with my kids and be there for them for breakfast and dinner and so forth. So then moving into my own business, I was very conscious of my work schedule and how I arrange my days and how much flexibility I want to build into my business. And actually, I would go back and say the way I set up my business and structured it came from that initial question of what do I want my life to look like? What do I want my lifestyle to look like? And then once I got clarity on this is when I said, okay, so with that in mind, what does my business need to look like to make that work?
Right. Very good. So what have you identified as a couple of your really good skill sets that have helped you in this journey?
Yeah, so I want to actually use this question also to touch on a point that you mentioned earlier about, like, you know, hiring people double age and saying, like, I can't, it's just, you know, tough luck, I can't do this, right? A big mm-hmm. part of this is confidence. And confidence is something that needs to be developed as well. It's like a competence, confidence that they feed off of each other and both of them need to be developed over time. And I think it's, so to answer that question, like, what are some of the greatest skills? I think it's one of them is my ability to work on my confidence and not let the fear hold me back from taking mm-hmm. action. Right. So I still have insecurities, and I always have from the moment I started, you know, young age, but even the first day I was in this leadership role, and then the first day I was in my business, there's a bunch of insecurities that are going through my mind, and doubts, and can I really do this? Did I chew off too much? Then I can bite, you know, who do you think you are? But all these thoughts are present and I acknowledge them, but they're not stopping me from taking action. Like, they're not stopping me from showing up and from trying and from learning. And so I think it's that, and that goes hand in hand with something else that's been helpful to me is my determination. And determination can be, I set my mind to it, and this is my goal, and I'm focused, and I'm pursuing this thing no matter what. And for some people, you know, in my, you know, my family or friends, sometimes I think like, oh my God, you're so determined. Just chill out, relax, mm-hmm. you know, take it easy or take it slow, or, you know, try to adjust. So there are some negative side effects at time, but it's something that I credit a lot of my success to is the fact that I'm determined to make it work. And I think I can be resourceful and I can figure things out, and I learn and grow, and I make a mistake, and it's okay. I get back up and I keep going.
Very good. Those are definitely two skill sets that are very helpful for any of us in life. But I always say that focus is key. I teach these four pillars of success, and you have to be focused. And that is so imperative. So people that are able to do that, usually that's something that's going to take them very, very far.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
So what's one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that you're super proud of?
Yeah, I think looking back at the past like 15 years or so, what I'm mostly proud of, I guess, is having kids, having three healthy kids. The pregnancies were not easy. They were not all sunshine and roses, but I was able to have three healthy kids. I was able to pursue my career and then start a business on the side. And I had a husband who was very supportive all along and was, you know, championing me on and being an emotional rock when things got tough. But looking back, I think that was my biggest accomplishment of, you know, going through it and thinking it's doable. I used to have this thought of when I have kids, you know, my career would stop, or I needed to achieve something and then start a family. And then when I was in it, I realized like, no, actually, you know, with some time management and productivity skills and clear and focus and clarity on values, there's a lot of things that can be accomplished, even when starting a family.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us then about a challenge that you have faced and then how you worked through that challenge.
That's a great question. Yes. So I guess staying on the topic of family, one of the challenges that I have as a mom and a business owner and, you know, a lifestyle where none of my days look the same. So I'm sure you can relate. The days never quite, not always predictable, and they never quite look the same, just given the nature of this work of having coaching conversations and delivering trainings and then travel at times and so forth. So the challenge is often that we don't have family nearby. One of those things that I wished we'd had, or we'd be more what we don't have thought about in advance, but neither my husband's nor my family is anywhere close by where they could step in. And initially I thought, okay, I just got to do this on my own. And it was, you know, challenging to figure out, okay, I got to clean the house. And then I also got to be the one that drops off the kids and picks up the kids and makes the lunch. And I need to, like I rather should. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, one of those things that I realized, like the turning point for me was like, no, actually, just like learning the ropes of leadership when you actually want to ask for help and you don't need to do it all on your own. So it's the same thing for me at that point in my life where I had to realize like, actually, I don't need to. just because I should, or that is some sort of image that I had in my head, I don't need to. So I, you know, thank God for grocery deliveries and, you know, I live in San Francisco. We have access to a lot of apps that make it so convenient for moms to have things around and get help and have people that can, babysitters that can come in and people who can do random errands as well if needed, while still being somewhat affordable as well. So then the learning of asking for help and being okay with it, be this friends or people in the community, and be this a church or the school, and asking for help, saying like, look, this is difficult for me right now. I would love some help if you have time. And people usually respond really, really well and say like, I would love to help, and they feel good and I feel good and I feel okay. And then it also opens up this window of not only did I just put myself in this uncomfortable state to ask for help, and it's a little bit vulnerable, right? But because I did this, now the other person feels okay doing the same with me. And mm-hmm. so now I can be someone who can help others now that I have more flexibility and more time. And there is this mutual agreement that it's just okay to ask for help. And we all need each other during times where there's a lot of different responsibilities and obligations and commitments that are coming our ways.
Oh, that is great. And I think that's a good piece of advice for everyone as well. So what does working from your happy place mean to you? This is always the tough question, it seems, for everybody, or challenging, but it's kind of the topic of the show. So what is working from your happy place? What's that mean to you?
That it's a challenging question, but I think it's such a wonderful question to ponder on. Working from a happy place, to me, really means, when I thought about this, or when I think about this, it means that I am okay with things that I can't control. Like, there's things I can't control, and I let that be. And I focus on the things that I can control, and I do my best on those areas. Mm-hmm. It also means that I take responsibility. So I notice that if I blame others, not just other people or circumstances or events, for outcomes, then I can get frustrated. But if I switch my mindset and I'm looking at how am I responsible? Like, let's just start with the default as I am responsible. Ultimately, what happens is that any sort of non-happy thoughts disappear because I cannot be angry and responsible at the same time.
Right.
It somehow doesn't work. So I shift my mindset. I'm responsible and I focus on the things that I can control. And that to me is kind of the essence of working from a happy place. And then doing work that is meaningful and, you know, focusing on relationship building and long-term outlook versus short-term gain, those are just like nice add-ons. That's kind of the topping on the ice cream. But to mm-hmm. me, the core is really taking responsibility. Yeah. And focusing on the things we can control.
Very good. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to be entrepreneurs? Because obviously you made a big shift from a very institutionalized job to that one of entrepreneurship. And so what advice would you give to others who might find themselves in the same boat or just have started into this journey and want to be more successful with it?
Yeah. It's starting a business is a bit, it's a bit like having a baby and people tell you all about, and you read all about what it's going to be like. And then that day the baby's born, you think, oh dear, what am I going to do? And there's all these new things to learn that you feel like, why did no one tell me about? I don't want to go into this, but right, what about all these taboo things that mm-hmm. I've never heard of before? And it's a little bit, the experience for me at least was a bit similar when I started my business. And looking back, I'd say the biggest learning I had was the importance of selling and to really embrace selling. Do not see selling as a dirty word or as something that's immoral or unethical, but to really acknowledge that I believe so much in the work I do and the service I provide that if I don't offer this and I tell people how to find me or how to work with me and what they could expect, and just to bring that, put that message out there, I'm not helping anyone. And so practicing, reading, studying, not just your own, the topic of whatever work you do and your business is all about, your services, but also at the same time, practice, read, and study selling. Ethical selling, right? Not like influencing in a bad way or manipulating. That's not what I'm talking about, but just putting your message out there and being comfortable with it. And it takes practice. And I believe it's a big part of making a business successful.
I love that answer, and I'm going to tell you why. So, so that has been, you know, I started in sales very, very young. I mean, like literally, seriously, at 18, like where it was official, I started working and I was in sales. But like, I sold things when I was really young. Like, I sold Christmas cards door to door when I was only like 11 and 12. I made crocheted like pillow covers and sold those. Wow. And I just did, I had a newspaper route. Like, I did sales, and I did, and I loved doing sales when I was really little. And then at 18, I started actually getting paid as a job and doing sales, and I rose up very, very quickly. And so that's what I teach, really. Like, I teach a lot of different skill sets today to lots of other entrepreneurs, but sales is my favorite thing to teach. And I think two things. One, when you really learn the art of sales, it carries you into every single area of your life. And there's just such a confidence booster. You learn people skills. You learn mm-hmm. so many other skill sets that go along with being good in sales. But you really touch on a key point. And definitely women suffer from this more than men. Men don't sit and say, oh, I don't want people to think I'm in sales, or I don't want to be like your typical salesperson. But women struggle with this so hard that it's not a desirable profession, or that it's not something that they really need to be good at. And they struggle with, and the one thing that they always say to me is, you know, I don't want to be like a used car salesman. And for whatever reason, people equate sales and service to something that is, you know, not desirable. And I'm always trying to fight against that with people to teach them that, you know, you're not cheating anybody, or you're not making stuff up. You know, to really sell something is to believe in what you have to offer, to find what people's need is, and then to fill that need with a product or a service. And so you're really providing service even more than sales. And women struggle with this so hard.
Yeah.
And so the other point, so I was on a quote unquote coaching call myself not too terribly long ago. And I was talking about creating a new product or whatever it was, and in building the brand, I was kind of going into that. And they said, well, you know, what would one of your programs be? And I said, well, I definitely would teach sales strategies, because it's an important part of any business owner. And the person said, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, I really think you need to focus more on marketing. And I just found that really, really interesting, because I think that having a good foundation of sales background is going to carry you into any area that you want to go.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's such an important part, because a business is different from a hobby by the simple fact that you have paying clients, right? If you don't mm-hmm. have paying clients, it's probably a hobby. If you call it a business, it's the paying client. And the paying client is someone who sees that you're solving a problem.
Right.
Right. And they're seeing that the price they're paying is worth the value they're getting, or even more, right? So usually I'd say the value you're getting exceeds actually the price that you're paying right. a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Especially in the coaching field, it's like, it's actually invaluable that the benefits someone can get and the changes trajectory of someone's life, you can't really put a price tag on it. So it exceeds what they're paying. But that message is, and the skill and the skill to be able to communicate this and to identify the need of the other person and then speak in a way that they understand how the service or the program or the product solves that problem is, yeah, it's something I feel it's not taught in school enough, and it's and it's something that needs to be learned, and it's part of the individual growth journey someone has to go through. And in, as business owners who're starting off, there's obviously so much they could be doing. Like you say, there's the marketing, and then the business in itself, and delivering whatever they sold, and so many things they could be focused on. And it's really easy to go to the comfort place of, well, you know, the service I provide, let's say coaching, is what I'm really comfortable and good at. So I'm going to focus on that and then neglect the things that are uncomfortable, like the selling part. And that's what I think is causing a lot of new businesses to either take too long to ramp up or to not get really profitable at all, or not in a time frame that's feasible. Where it is, my advice would be to step into that uncomfortable place to practice selling and to know that every time you have a conversation and you push yourself a little bit into the uncomfortable zone, that's where your muscle will grow.
Right? Oh, that's just such great advice. So what are some exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners would benefit from? And then, of course, if you could tell them how they can find you also, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I provide workshops, trainings, and also one-on-one coaching for people who are either just stepping into their leadership, their first leadership role, or about 5-10 years into their leadership journey. And, you know, these are coaching programs, and I involve training of soft skills and support and resources and tools to really make the learning actionable and to build the competence and therefore the confidence. And so, speaking of confidence, I have a masterclass, which actually a free masterclass. So if anyone of the listeners is interested, just kind of check it out a little bit without making a big commitment. The free masterclass is available on ramonashaw.com/masterclass. And this is a place where I talk about how to become the boss people love to work for.
Oh, specifically, that's awesome.
Yeah, specifically confident, high-performing boss that people love to work for.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, gosh, Ramona, this has been delightful. You've been such a delight, and you shared some really great pearls of wisdom with everyone. And I hope that people will take the time. I always say when something is really good, take the time and go back and listen to it. And I want to also just ask all of our listeners that if you could leave us a review of the show, we certainly do. We definitely appreciate those. Having people subscribe and leaving us a review of how you enjoyed the show are the two biggest things for podcasters. So I would just like to ask that of all of our listeners. And then I want to just thank you so much for being part of our show today.
Thank you as well, Belinda. It was great speaking with you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.